This is the Cambridge First Certificate in English for Schools Listening Test. Sample Test. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B or C. 1. You hear a young singer talking about his childhood.
When I was a little kid, my father used to watch a lot of old movies and I sat with him and loved them too, especially the musicals. So, you see, my career was inspired by him in a way, and these old movies played a big part in my life. They were the reason I wanted to learn to sing, though my dad never suggested it to me. There's no musical background in my family, though my mother could sing, but she didn't have much ability, really. It was just fun for her. I think my parents must have looked at me and thought, "Where did that come from?" When I was a little kid, my father used to watch a lot of old movies and I sat with him and loved them too, especially the musicals. So, you see, my career was inspired by him in a way and these old movies played a big part in my life. They were the reason I wanted to learn to sing, though my dad never suggested it to me. There's no musical background in my family, though my mother could sing, but she didn't have much ability really. It was just fun for her. I think my parents must have looked at me and thought, "Where did that come from?"
2. You overhear a girl talking on the phone about a clothes shop.
Well, I think that new clothes store called Smart Girls is certainly a place where you can be sure of picking up a bargain or two, though most of the shops in the mall have them at the moment. The assistants are friendly and they really know about fashion instead of just pretending to be cool. They're honest too and don't just tell you that you look great all the time. I like the music they play because it sort of puts you in the mood as soon as you walk in. Though I don't think it's your thing. You might prefer somewhere a bit quieter. Well, I think that new clothes store called Smart Girls is certainly a place where you can be sure of picking up a bargain or two. Though most of the shops in the mall have them at the moment. The assistants are friendly and they really know about fashion instead of just pretending to be cool. They're honest too, and don't just tell you that you look great all the time. I like the music they play because it sort of puts you in the mood as soon as you walk in. Though I don't think it's your thing. You might prefer somewhere a bit quieter.
3. You hear part of an interview with a farmer.
So, Josh, for our teenage listeners who live in towns and cities, tell us about what it's like living on a farm.
Well, actually, you can come along and experience it for yourself this weekend. There's going to be something called an Open Farm Day. More than 450 farms all over the country will be open to the public. And you can go along and meet the animals, ride on a tractor, learn about cheese making and wool spinning, all that sort of thing. Who knows, it might even persuade a few to think about farming as a career. It's not an easy life, but it's a good one.
So, Josh, for our teenage listeners who live in towns and cities, tell us about what it's like living on a farm.
Well, actually, you can come along and experience it for yourself this weekend. There's going to be something called an Open Farm Day. More than 450 farms all over the country will be open to the public. And you can go along and meet the animals, ride on a tractor, learn about cheese making and wool spinning, all that sort of thing. Who knows, it might even persuade a few to think about farming as a career. It's not an easy life, but it's a good one.
4. You hear two friends talking about a school concert.
Hi, Judy. Are you ready for the school concert tomorrow? I've been practicing all week, so I think it'll be okay.
There are a few tricky bits in that new piece of music we'll be playing. I'm getting my head round it, though. My clarinet was making a funny noise, but I've got it sorted now. That could have been embarrassing.
I'm a bit worried about my solo part, especially with all those people watching.
Imagine how awful it would be to make a mistake with your mum and dad there. I'm not so bothered about strangers, though.
Just stay cool. If you mess up, just keep going like nothing's happened. Hi, Judy. Are you ready for the school concert tomorrow? I've been practicing all week, so I think it'll be okay.
There are a few tricky bits in that new piece of music we'll be playing. I'm getting my head round it, though. My clarinet was making a funny noise, but I've got it sorted now. That could have been embarrassing.
I'm a bit worried about my solo part, especially with all those people watching.
Imagine how awful it would be to make a mistake with your mum and dad there. I'm not so bothered about strangers, though.
Just stay cool. If you mess up, just keep going like nothing's happened.
5. You hear a news report about a football club.
Fast food is off the menu for everyone at Parktown Rangers Football Club. The new manager of the club has coached in many countries around the world and has picked up some ideas from his travels in Europe and Asia. He has banned the players from eating meat when they are preparing for important games. He thinks this will strengthen their physical condition and improve the team's results, a view shared by our medical experts in the studio today. Now the club have decided to go a step further and have stopped selling burgers in the stadium, a move which may not be popular with all the young fans. Fast food is off the menu for everyone at Parktown Rangers Football Club. The new manager of the club has coached in many countries around the world and has picked up some ideas from his travels in Europe and Asia. He has banned the players from eating meat when they are preparing for important games. He thinks this will strengthen their physical condition and improve the team's results, a view shared by our medical experts in the studio today. Now the club have decided to go a step further and have stopped selling burgers in the stadium, a move which may not be popular with all the young fans.
6. You hear two friends talking about a newspaper for teenagers.
I read this great newspaper the other day.
A newspaper? Isn't it full of dull stuff?
It's aimed at our age group, actually, so it presents the news in a way that's easy to understand. So it's a good way to find out what's going on in the world. It's interactive, too.
Really?
Yeah. You can write reports for it, and they include the best ones in the paper. Cool, huh?
If you like writing, I suppose. Not a talent of mine.
So you don't bother with the news, then?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I do follow it, just as long as it doesn't seem too much like schoolwork.
I read this great newspaper the other day.
A newspaper? Isn't it full of dull stuff?
It's aimed at our age group, actually, so it presents the news in a way that's easy to understand. So it's a good way to find out what's going on in the world. It's interactive, too.
Really?
Yeah. You can write reports for it, and they include the best ones in the paper. Cool, huh?
If you like writing, I suppose. Not a talent of mine.
So you don't bother with the news, then?
I wouldn't say that. I do follow it, just as long as it doesn't seem too much like schoolwork.
7. You hear a boy telling a friend about climbing a mountain with his father.
How often do you go mountain climbing?
My dad and I go climbing together a lot, which is really cool because I get plenty of time to talk with him. I remember the last mountain we climbed together, he was telling me about how you can only really enjoy the wonderful scenery once you get to the top. because when you're just halfway up, you're concentrating on the climb. I was really sore, and I just wanted to quit. But I carried on to the top so I could admire the beautiful view. But my legs were aching so much I couldn't appreciate it fully, or my dad's wise words.
How often do you go mountain climbing?
My dad and I go climbing together a lot, which is really cool because I get plenty of time to talk with him. I remember the last mountain we climbed together, he was telling me about how you can only really enjoy the wonderful scenery once you get to the top, because when you're just halfway up, you're concentrating on the climb. I was really sore, and I just wanted to quit, but I carried on to the top so I could admire the beautiful view. But my legs were aching so much I couldn't appreciate it fully, or my dad's wise words.
8. You hear a teacher talking about an environmental project.
Right, everyone. I'm sure you'll agree it was great fun enhancing our school grounds with the butterfly garden, and I hope you all got something out of it and are more aware of your natural environment now. What you've achieved is much appreciated, and the project will continue, so I'd like you to keep thinking about things we can do to maintain the garden. The idea is to keep it going for future students at the school, so all suggestions are welcome. I think you'll all agree it's been a great success, which I hope we can repeat in the future. Right, everyone. I'm sure you'll agree it was great fun enhancing our school grounds with the butterfly garden, and I hope you all got something out of it and are more aware of your natural environment now. What you've achieved is much appreciated, and the project will continue, so I'd like you to keep thinking about things we can do to maintain the garden. The idea is to keep it going for future students at the school, so all suggestions are welcome. I think you'll all agree it's been a great success, which I hope we can repeat in the future.
That is the end of part one. Now turn to part two. You'll hear a student called Duncan Heap talking about his recent trip to Iceland to study seabirds called puffins. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two.
Do you like seabirds? If so, you'll love puffins. They spend most of their lives at sea, but last August I was lucky enough to see them up close when I visited the Westman Islands in Iceland where they build their nests. First of all, though, a few facts about puffins. They have a squat black and white body, short wings, and a large colourful beak, which I think makes them look really funny on dry land. But puffins are built more to swim underwater than to fly or walk. When you see them swimming, it's an impressive sight. Their wings help them propel themselves through the water. I didn't expect their feet to be used when they were flying, except perhaps just to moderate their speed like brakes, but actually they use them to alter their direction in the air. In the water, puffins can dive deep, holding their breath for up to 2 minutes to catch fish. When spring comes, puffins can be seen on high cliffs on the Westman Islands making their nests. It's quite a sight, I'm told. I wasn't aware of this, but puffins nest underground rather than on clifftop ledges as I'd imagined. They dig holes, so their nests are very well protected. Each female puffin lays just one egg in its nest each year, which the pair watches over for 6 weeks, day and night. While they wait, you can hear them underground making noises that might be like talking, loud growling calls, almost like laughter, which some describe as sounding like a cow, and I tend to agree. Young puffins, though, once hatched, sound more like a duck or a goose, peeping for food from their parents. I was told that, as winter beckons, their parents leave them behind and fly off to sea. But apparently it's hunger rather than loneliness that makes young puffins fly from their nests. That's something I didn't expect. And this is what I saw when I was there. In the daytime, I watched young puffins diving off the cliffs to gain enough speed for flight as they headed out to sea. At nighttime, though, which is when most of them fly off, it was a different story. The thing is, puffins instinctively use the stars for navigation, but the lights of a town can fool them and make them head in the wrong direction, so the young puffins end up landing all over the place. Some puffins land on the beaches, where they are easily rescued. Others aren't so lucky. If it's on the roads, cars aren't so much of a problem, as people know to drive extra slowly at this time of year. But gardens present more of a threat. They're dark and there are lurking cats. So I helped the local teenagers, who are allowed to stay out late, and we roamed around the town with cardboard shoeboxes, rescuing young puffins as we went. I even saw one boy putting a young puffin in an upturned umbrella, which made me laugh. They didn't seem to mind being handled, and it's not unusual for a single teenager to catch 10 birds in one evening. After a night spent as guests of their rescuers, with the box as a temporary bed, we carried the young birds down to the beach and threw them up high. It was a really rewarding experience to see them glide towards the sea and freedom. Sometimes the puffins aren't ready for release, if they've been injured or whatever, in which case they get taken to the local museum, which becomes a sort of puffin hotel for a few days each year. You can buy all sorts of puffin souvenirs on the islands. I took some great photographs of the birds, one of which is now the screensaver on my computer. I've got a puffin mouse mat too, that's really cute. A much better souvenir than a puffin t-shirt or baseball cap. That's the sort of thing most people buy. Anyway, before I go on to the migration...
Now you'll hear part two again.
Do you like seabirds? If so, you'll love puffins. They spend most of their lives at sea. But last August, I was lucky enough to see them up close when I visited the Westman Islands in Iceland where they build their nests. First of all, though, a few facts about puffins. They have a squat black and white body, short wings, and a large colourful beak, which I think makes them look really funny on dry land. But puffins are built more to swim underwater than to fly or walk. When you see them swimming, it's an impressive sight. Their wings help them propel themselves through the water. I didn't expect their feet to be used when they were flying, except perhaps just to moderate their speed like brakes, but actually they use them to alter their direction in the air. In the water, puffins can dive deep, holding their breath for up to 2 minutes to catch fish. When spring comes, puffins can be seen on high cliffs on the Westman Islands making their nests. It's quite a sight, I'm told. I wasn't aware of this, but puffins nest underground rather than on clifftop ledges as I'd imagined. They dig holes, so their nests are very well protected. Each female puffin lays just one egg in its nest each year, which the pair watches over for 6 weeks, day and night. While they wait, you can hear them underground making noises that might be like talking, loud growling calls, almost like laughter, which some describe as sounding like a cow, and I tend to agree. Young puffins, though, once hatched, sound more like a duck or a goose, peeping for food from their parents. I was told that, as winter beckons, their parents leave them behind and fly off to sea. But apparently it's hunger rather than loneliness that makes young puffins fly from their nests. That's something I didn't expect. And this is what I saw when I was there. In the daytime, I watched young puffins diving off the cliffs to gain enough speed for flight as they headed out to sea. At nighttime, though, which is when most of them fly off, it was a different story. The thing is, puffins instinctively use the stars for navigation, but the lights of a town can fool them and make them head in the wrong direction, so the young puffins end up landing all over the place. Some puffins land on the beaches, where they are easily rescued. Others aren't so lucky. If it's on the roads,
Cars aren't so much of a problem, as people know to drive extra slowly at this time of year. But gardens present more of a threat. They're dark and there are lurking cats. So I helped the local teenagers, who were allowed to stay out late, and we roamed around the town with cardboard shoeboxes, rescuing young puffins as we went. I even saw one boy putting a young puffin in an upturned umbrella, which made me laugh. They didn't seem to mind being handled, and it's not unusual for a single teenager to catch 10 birds in one evening. After a night spent as guests of their rescuers, with the box as a temporary bed, we carried the young birds down to the beach and threw them up high. It was a really rewarding experience to see them glide towards the sea and freedom. Sometimes the puffins aren't ready for release, if they've been injured or whatever, in which case they get taken to the local museum, which becomes a sort of puffin hotel for a few days each year. You can buy all sorts of puffin souvenirs on the islands. I took some great photographs of the birds, one of which is now the screensaver on my computer. I've got a puffin mouse mat too, that's really cute. A much better souvenir than a puffin t-shirt or baseball cap. That's the sort of thing most people buy. Anyway, before I go on to the migration...
That is the end of part two. Now turn to part three. You'll hear five extracts in which people are talking about photography. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list A to H what each speaker says about it. Use the letters only once. There are three extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part three. Speaker 1.
I fell in love with photography when I was 13, and I've been doing it as a hobby ever since. I might even do it for a career, but I know I've still got a lot to learn about it. I just know I really like it, and it motivates me to get out there, do different things and stuff like that, you know, visit unusual locations where I might not otherwise have gone if I wasn't into photography. Once I've taken a load of shots, I find it really satisfying to look at them all on screen afterwards and choose the best ones.
Speaker 2.
I always photograph things that mean something to me. Friends, places I've been, things I've done. I've taken some amazing shots of musicians at concerts, trying to capture the atmosphere of the music and the crowd. It's a way of freezing a moment in time with just one click. Like a record, keeping the past alive for me. I love giving friends pictures of themselves in different situations. Everyone says I'm becoming a real expert, but I don't think about that. My parents also give me lots of encouragement. They're going to get me a new camera, because the one I've got right now isn't exactly the latest model.
Speaker 3.
I usually have an idea in my mind of what I want to see in a photo, and I'll concentrate on trying to get that picture. It might be a friend in an interesting place, or a scene from nature, whatever. I know for some people it's tricky to come up with something truly original, but I actually feel more sure of myself and what I'm doing when I'm behind the camera. I also feel a sense of calmness somehow. When I'm sitting at my laptop, editing my pictures and sharing them with friends online, I just get totally absorbed in the whole process and forget all about what's going on outside.
Speaker 4.
I'm lucky because I learned to use a camera when I was about 5 years old, so I'm pretty confident in my abilities. Obviously, there's still room for improvement, but I'm no great perfectionist. For me, it's about using the equipment to show what I think and feel, but also using my imagination to create something unique. The technology is always developing, and almost everybody's learnt to use a camera of some sort these days, but I don't think people understand the power of what they can do. It's not just about getting snaps of events or new places, or else you just end up with a picture that's been taken 1,000 times before.
Speaker 5.
I used to enjoy just looking at photos, but then I discovered the amazing stuff you can do on computers or with a camera. I've taught myself loads. I get pleasure out of solving puzzles and playing around, experimenting to see how it all works. It's not about trying to be creative, but more about amusing myself with what I can do. I can't say I'm some expert photographer, but I do post lots of the pictures I take on various websites for friends to look at, because everybody gets something out of seeing themselves and remembering places they went to or things they did.
Now you'll hear part 3 again. Speaker 1.
I fell in love with photography when I was 13, and I've been doing it as a hobby ever since. I might even do it for a career, but I know I've still got a lot to learn about it. I just know I really like it, and it motivates me to get out there, do different things and stuff like that, you know, visit unusual locations where I might not otherwise have gone if I wasn't into photography. Once I've taken a load of shots, I find it really satisfying to look at them all on screen afterwards and choose the best ones.
Speaker 2.
I always photograph things that mean something to me. Friends, places I've been, things I've done. I've taken some amazing shots of musicians at concerts, trying to capture the atmosphere of the music and the crowd. It's a way of freezing a moment in time with just one click. Like a record, keeping the past alive for me. I love giving friends pictures of themselves in different situations. Everyone says I'm becoming a real expert, but I don't think about that. My parents also give me lots of encouragement. They're going to get me a new camera, because the one I've got right now isn't exactly the latest model.
Speaker 3.
I usually have an idea in my mind of what I want to see in a photo, and I'll concentrate on trying to get that picture. It might be a friend in an interesting place or a scene from nature, whatever. I know for some people it's tricky to come up with something truly original, but I actually feel more sure of myself and what I'm doing when I'm behind the camera. I also feel a sense of calmness somehow. When I'm sitting at my laptop, editing my pictures and sharing them with friends online, I just get totally absorbed in the whole process and forget all about what's going on outside.
Speaker 4.
I'm lucky because I learned to use a camera when I was about 5 years old, so I'm pretty confident in my abilities. Obviously, there's still room for improvement, but I'm no great perfectionist. For me, it's about using the equipment to show what I think and feel, but also using my imagination to create something unique. The technology is always developing, and almost everybody's learned to use a camera of some sort these days, but I don't think people understand the power of what they can do. It's not just about getting snaps of events or new places, or else you just end up with a picture that's been taken 1,000 times before.
Speaker 5.
I used to enjoy just looking at photos, but then I discovered the amazing stuff you can do on computers or with a camera. I've taught myself loads. I get pleasure out of solving puzzles and playing around, experimenting to see how it all works. It's not about trying to be creative, but more about amusing myself with what I can do. I can't say I'm some expert photographer, but I do post lots of the pictures I take on various websites for friends to look at. Because everybody gets something out of seeing themselves and remembering places they went to or things they did.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4. You'll hear an interview with a teenager called Luke Fuller, who's talking about working as a junior reporter for his local radio station. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part four.
My guest today is Luke Fuller, who's 17 and who's just spent a month working as a junior reporter for his local radio station. It sounds fascinating. What was the purpose of what you were doing, Luke?
Well, the radio station in my town wanted to encourage teenagers to have a go at being reporters. This meant taking your microphone everywhere and talking to people about what was happening in their lives. The whole idea was to focus on ordinary teenagers and not local celebrities or anyone like that. It was about making us see that everyone has a story that's worth telling. Some of us might go on to work at a radio station, but that wasn't really the purpose.
So how did you prepare?
Well, we had a bit of training. Of course, I had to familiarise myself with the equipment, but I'm quite good with technical stuff, so that wasn't too much of a problem. The weird thing was having to practice being natural and relaxed. I'd never thought about how hard that would be. We were told to be spontaneous rather than write a script or anything like that. I must admit, I love writing, so I did jot down some ideas anyway.
How did you feel about the idea of reporting from your school?
Well, it meant I'd be the centre of attention for a few days, which I wasn't looking forward to because I'm rather shy. These reports weren't part of my schoolwork, but my teachers seemed quite keen on the idea anyway, and one or two gave me some advice. And there was plenty of stuff going on at school. It's a lively place, so there was no shortage of stuff to talk about.
So what happened when you did your first interviews with people at school?
As soon as I got the microphone out, even my most talkative friends tended to go all self-conscious. Sometimes I had to begin recording a few minutes before the start of the interview just to put people at their ease. There wasn't always time to explain things to them before the interview, so sometimes one or two of them didn't feel ready. But, you know, in the end people often opened up and revealed much more than I'd expected, which was great.
What happens after you've recorded something? Is it edited or changed in any way?
Everything you record has to be carefully edited. Luckily, I got the chance to work on this with producers at the station, so it wasn't as if I'd no control over the content. Although it only went out on the radio a week later, it wasn't live. Even so, kids I'd talked to at school wanted to know that anything silly or embarrassing they said wouldn't be broadcast. Unfortunately, sometimes even good stuff had to be cut because time's very limited. That's a pity, but I understood the reasons for it.
So overall, did you enjoy being a reporter?
Sure, it was a lot of fun. My mum says I liked it because it gave me permission to ask loads of personal questions, but I think she's just joking. What was really cool about it was that I had to be a journalist, a producer and an engineer all at the same time, and each role needed specific skills. I never complained about having to do everything. Yeah, it was hard work, but I didn't mind.
And has it changed your attitude to radio at all?
Some of my friends think the radio is just for music, but I've never thought like that. It can make you feel like someone is talking directly to you. I hope that's how people will feel when they hear me. What I've learnt is that because there are no pictures, you have to be creative and pay attention to the words you use. It made me appreciate how good radio reporters have to be at expressing themselves. That's not to say there's no place for music.
Great talking to you, Luke.
Now you'll hear part four again.
My guest today is Luke Fuller, who's 17 and who's just spent a month working as a junior reporter for his local radio station. It sounds fascinating. What was the purpose of what you were doing, Luke?
Well, the radio station in my town wanted to encourage teenagers to have a go at being reporters. This meant taking your microphone everywhere and talking to people about what was happening in their lives. The whole idea was to focus on ordinary teenagers and not local celebrities or anyone like that. It was about making us see that everyone has a story that's worth telling. Some of us might go on to work at a radio station, but that wasn't really the purpose.
So how did you prepare?
Well, we had a bit of training. Of course, I had to familiarise myself with the equipment, but I'm quite good with technical stuff, so that wasn't too much of a problem. The weird thing was having to practice being natural and relaxed. I'd never thought about how hard that would be. We were told to be spontaneous rather than write a script or anything like that. I must admit, I love writing, so I did jot down some ideas anyway.
How did you feel about the idea of reporting from your school?
Well, it meant I'd be the centre of attention for a few days, which I wasn't looking forward to because I'm rather shy. These reports weren't part of my schoolwork, but my teachers seemed quite keen on the idea anyway, and one or two gave me some advice. And there was plenty of stuff going on at school. It's a lively place, so there was no shortage of stuff to talk about.
So what happened when you did your first interviews with people at school?
As soon as I got the microphone out, even my most talkative friends tended to go all self-conscious. Sometimes I had to begin recording a few minutes before the start of the interview just to put people at their ease. There wasn't always time to explain things to them before the interview, so sometimes one or two of them didn't feel ready. But, you know, in the end people often opened up and revealed much more than I'd expected, which was great.
What happens after you've recorded something? Is it edited or changed in any way?
Everything you record has to be carefully edited. Luckily, I got the chance to work on this with producers at the station, so it wasn't as if I'd no control over the content, although it only went out on the radio a week later. It wasn't live. Even so, kids I'd talked to at school wanted to know that anything silly or embarrassing they said wouldn't be broadcast. Unfortunately, sometimes even good stuff had to be cut because time's very limited. That's a pity, but I understood the reasons for it.
So overall, did you enjoy being a reporter?
Sure, it was a lot of fun. My mum says I liked it because it gave me permission to ask loads of personal questions, but I think she's just joking. What was really cool about it was that I had to be a journalist, a producer and an engineer all at the same time, and each role needed specific skills. I never complained about having to do everything. Yeah, it was hard work, but I didn't mind.
And has it changed your attitude to radio at all?
Some of my friends think the radio is just for music, but I've never thought like that. It can make you feel like someone is talking directly to you. I hope that's how people will feel when they hear me. What I've learned is that because there are no pictures, you have to be creative and pay attention to the words you use. It made me appreciate how good radio reporters have to be at expressing themselves. That's not to say there's no place for music.
Great talking to you, Luke.
That's the end of part four. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I'll remind you when there's 1 minute left so that you're sure to finish in time. You have one more minute left. That's the end of the test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.